Good morning. If you'll turn with me to Philippians, the fourth chapter. In just a moment, we'll be reading from Philippians, the fourth chapter, and we'll start in verse 4. If you're visiting or you're online, you'll recognize that I'm not the normal preacher. And I hope you'll bear with me. I'm not a perfect speaker, and it's okay to laugh at me if I stumble or whatever. My children do all the time, and it's all right. But I believe that if we listen to the Word of God, each of us can find something in the lesson today worthwhile. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse 4, reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." We'll read more in just a moment, but I want you to realize and see that in our worship, and this is a commandment. It's not an option. And you may say, well, I don't always feel like rejoicing. I don't always feel that I'm not ready to rejoice sometimes in my life. It is a commandment. And we need to prepare ourselves to rejoice in the Lord. And that's what our lesson is going to be about today. You know, if you're a man, gentlemen, the scripture teaches to love our wives. It doesn't say love our wives when you feel like it or when she's being nice to me, but I need to do the things to prepare myself to love my wife, to treat her with the respect and kindness she deserves. And the same is true with the Lord. We need to prepare ourselves to rejoice in the Lord. If you will turn with me for just a moment over to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 and 2. "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in the love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." You see, God finds love and joy in us. He has prepared himself, even though we are sinful people. He has spent a lot of time to rejoice in a relationship with us. He has been struggling through 5,000 years or more of people so that he can have this relationship with us. Jesus Christ came here for us. And if we are to imitate God, we need to prepare and be ready to serve him, to rejoice in him as he rejoices in us. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, I'm going to read verses 4 through 9, the whole thing, which will be the heart of our lesson. But I want to read through it, and then we'll break it up a little bit. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. As we think about these things, it is not just a commandment from Paul for us to rejoice in the Lord, but it comes with a promise. You do this, and the Lord will do something. You do A, you'll get B. This is an important thing, and we need to prepare for it. We serve the Lord in these ways. We prepare our hearts and minds so we can rejoice. This list of things behind this is not separate things, but it is how you enable yourself to be ready to rejoice in the Lord. As we prepare ourselves, it is a commandment with a promise. The God of peace will be with you. That's the promise. The commandment is what we do. Verse 4, again we say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We need to think hard on this. It is not a passing thing. It is not something we do when we feel like it or we're in the mood. But it's not just the fact that we rejoice, but rejoice in the Lord. That's a different thing. We have a lot of things in our lives to rejoice about. We just have things. We have jobs. Sometimes we find that special person that wants to spend their life with us. We find all kinds of reasons to rejoice. When you first have children, you rejoice. When they leave your house, you rejoice. But we need to rejoice in our spiritual blessings. And our spiritual blessing is that God wants to be a part of our lives. If you turn over with me to John, the 4th chapter. John 4 and verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. He's seeking a certain kind of people. A people that are willing to participate in this relationship. People that will worship Him in spirit. That means with our whole minds that we are willing to set aside other things, so that we can focus on our relationship with God. We should also, it means that this in spirit and truth means much more than that. It's not just that we focus in our minds, but we have real emotions. Yes, gentlemen, we should be able to say, I love the Lord. And we should feel these things and be ready to say, thank you, Lord, and you are my Father, and I am glad to be your child. These are the type of things in spirit and truth. And you may be here because your parents brought you here. You may be here because your wife comes and you feel obligated. Or your husband. Or it's what I've always done. But we need to learn to want to be here. We need to learn to be here because it refreshes my soul. That is why we come and worship the Lord. That is why we do daily Bible readings. That's why we pray to the Lord many times a day. Many times. Because we are trying to develop a relationship with Him. He speaks to us through the Word, and we speak to Him through our prayers, and through our songs, and through our rejoicing. We need to learn to rejoice in the Lord, to develop a relationship with Him, with this God who has spent so much time preparing to have a relationship with us, with me, and with you. Can we just ignore a God who does so much for us? Can we just be so wrapped up in the daily things of our lives that we don't have time for the Lord? Verse 5 of chapter of Philippians, the fourth chapter, as we read on down through this list of things that we do to prepare. In verse 5 says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. This is very important. Don't just read over this. This is a big verse. If we look over in just a minute, we'll come back to that, but Philippians, the second chapter in verses 3 and 4 is going to explain a little bit more about this reasonableness. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself, and let each of you not only look to his own interest, but to the interest of others. What does that mean? That does not mean that you do not have ambition, young people. That does not mean that you don't have value and that you don't have self-worth. What that means is that my ambition and my self-worth, I will not trample over other people to build myself up. You know, it's very unique and it's very interesting that I work in a trade, a cabinet trade, and there are those that are craftsmen and they don't want to teach anybody anything and they want to hold it. I'm very good at what I do and I do this over in my little corner and they sort of hide everything. And there's others who are willing to teach and let others build them up. You see, it is the one who is able to teach and instruct others who are most valuable because they can duplicate themselves and they can move up to a higher task. You can have ambition. And yet you can build other people up along with you. You can do these sort of things. A reasonable person is a kind person. And if we are going to rejoice in the Lord, we have to be reasonable. Who wants everyone to get a fair portion? And that means that a reasonable person will take less so that everybody gets a share. Jesus Christ was in heaven. And he had Father all to himself. And yet he was willing to come down here and be our sacrifice so that we may share with a relationship with the Father. This is who we need to imitate. We need to imitate Jesus Christ. If we look further, look over into Galatians, the fifth chapter. more about this type of character that the Lord wants us to have so that we're able to rejoice. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. If we learn to be reasonable, we will be a kind person. They just come in hand. They're building blocks in our character. And if we learn to be kind, we can learn to be patient. All these things. It is interesting as we look at these rules and these things that the Lord gives us. Every rule the Lord gives us makes us a better person. Us a better person. Yes, sin can be pleasurable, and it may feel good to tell that person what you really think in the moment. But those words will come back to haunt you. That's the thing about sin. Sin feels good for a moment, sometimes. But the consequences of sin, even if we're forgiven, can last a lifetime. Can last a lifetime. That's why the Lord wants us to be better people. And if we can learn to rejoice in the Lord, we will open our minds and our ears and our hearts to the Word of God. And we will become better people by being better people to others. If you turn with me to John, the 10th chapter. In John, the 10th chapter, in verse 10 and 11, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundant. The Lord never intended for us to be bogged down in our miseries. Jesus came that we may enjoy life and rejoice. Our Father is a giving Father. Our Father is a caring Father. Our Savior is a caring Master. And He wants us to rejoice in Him and rejoice in the blessings that we have received from Him. If we look in the 14th verse, just a little further down in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own. And my own know me. Not only does he compare himself to a shepherd who takes care of the sheep and takes care of their needs and takes them to pasture, takes them to water, provides security for them and everything that they need. But he knows his own. He listens to us. He hears our problems. He knows our voice and our tension. He knows when there's problems. And he cares. And the last part of that verse is, and my own know me. That's a question. Do you know the Lord? Do you feel Him in your life? Have you prepared yourself? Are you listening to the Lord so that you may be able to know Him? My own, know me. Turn back to Philippians, if you would, with me, the fourth chapter in verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. This is not just a Sunday thing. This is not just with my brethren thing. This is every time thing. All the time. With those, your bosses, your family, and those that are your employees or your underlings, those that may be your waitress, and maybe even the beggar on the street. Be kind. Be kind. The last part of this sentence, to me, has a double meaning, verse 5. It's right between, it's right after this message of being reasonable. And it's right before a message of don't be anxious. So what is this message at hand? The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Be careful of what you're doing and how you treat others, because the Lord is watching, not from afar, but from right here. And it also means a message of comfort. You don't have to be anxious. I know you have problems, but I am here. The Lord is here and at hand. If you will turn with me a little further, look down, and we're going to look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. If we are going to rejoice in the Lord, we cannot be burdened with the everyday struggles all the time. Yes, you're going to have problems in your life. There are problems in this life. Each of us have problems. If you're wealthy, you have problems. Somebody's trying to take your wealth. If you're poor, you have problems. You need to get some wealth. If you're married, you have problems. You have a spouse to take care of. If you're not married, you're lonely. You have problems. If you have children, you'll never stop worrying about them. And then they'll bring into your life grandchildren. There are many things in this life to be anxious about. But we cannot let the burdens of this life drag us down to where we can't rejoice in the Lord. Yes, we have to deal with those problems. We have to deal with the everyday problems. But we also have to set them aside and prepare our hearts and minds to serve and trust the Lord. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, you turn over with me to Matthew 6, verse 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. This is a special verse, because the Father is paying attention. If he knows what you need, he's listening and watching you. And he cares about you. So we don't have to pray over and over and over again, hoping that he'll hear us if we say it many times. Talk to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He is paying attention to you. Now you may ask, how can I rejoice in the Lord? My Father may know what I need. He may hear my prayers, but he certainly does not give me everything I ask for. And if he does give me what I ask for, he doesn't give me what I ask for when I ask for it. My Father is not a genie in the box. But if you'll listen to this verse in Philippians, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. See, that speaks of humility. First of all, I have to recognize that God is the master and that he will give me what I need when I need it. For those of you who have children, you don't give them everything they want when they ask for it. You cannot. If you're going to get the one thing they ask for, they'll be thinking of the next thing to ask for while you're getting the first thing. It just doesn't happen. You give them what they need as they're ready and prepared for it. And so does our Father. He knows what we need. He made us. We can trust in the Lord. And trusting in the Lord means I might recognize that the Lord may say no. And I have to accept that. But if I rejoice in the Lord, I can accept that. I can accept that he understands me, knows me, and I can accept his answer. In verse 7, the promise, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a very important verse for us to understand. Not just read, but to understand. There's a difference. If we're going to prepare our hearts to rejoice in the Lord, and we're going to understand the peace of God, we have to ask, what is that? What is the peace of God? It is God's favor. I understand that I have the favor of the Lord. He sent Jesus Christ for me. Surely he'll watch over my physical needs. Life does have troubles. And you got to deal with it. But you don't have to let it control you. Life is what happens. Your attitude is what you make it. So if we have the peace of God, you know, I will tell you, I liken that to, we all have troubles and we need people to listen to us, right? We have friends, we have family. You come home at night and you tell your spouse about your day. If you're a woman, that means you're going to take 15 minutes. If you're a guy, you're going to say, yeah, we were busy, we ate lunch, and I came home. And that's about it. But we tell each other our problems, and we find comfort in that. We find comfort in telling others our problems. We have friends. And if they can do something about our problems, we're really excited. But with God, you can tell Him your problems. He wants to hear. And more than that, He cares. He doesn't just pretend to care sometimes. You know, ladies, like your husband does, about them, you know, after about 10 minutes, he's doing this. And he's pretending. The Lord's listening. He doesn't just pretend. But more than that, he cares. And more than that, our God can do something about our problems. Now, he may not. He may say, no, you have to deal with it. And he may say, not now or not at this time. But you can find comfort in the fact that the Lord is listening. The Lord has the ability to do something. And he's made a decision. Even that we can find comfort in. We can find comfort. So how does the Lord guard your hearts and minds in Christ? The last part of this verse, and then we'll be done. How does he prepare us to rejoice? Rejoice in the Lord. If we discipline our hearts to be reasonable, he guards our hearts against unrealistic expectation. You see how that works? God's law, God's rules. He's just taking care of something. If we trust in the Lord, he guards our heart against anxiety and stress because we understand he can take care of it and he'll help us through it. He'll help us with what we need. If we learn to ask our Father for the things that we really need and wait for the appropriate time to get them, we have a peace in our heart and a steadiness and a trust because God is in control. We don't understand everything that the Lord does or how he does it. But if you trust in the Lord, if you treat everyone with respect, kindness, if you serve God, you will find a place in your heart to rejoice in the Lord. The scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I hope this will help you a little bit. Help you to prepare your minds, your hearts to rejoice in the Lord. Thank you.